to all of those things, it matters. It matters. Because our response to correction, it reveals in us and shows whether or not and we have wisdom. Wisdom. It's really what we want in our lives. We want to be wise people who make wise choices. And God created us that way, to be people of wisdom. And actually, in the Bible, he gave us an entire book about wisdom. That book is called the Book of Proverbs. The Book of Proverbs was written by the wisest man who ever lived. And we know this because King Solomon in the Bible was given a choice, and God said, ask whatever you want. And he said, I want to be wise. And God said, well, that's a good choice. I'll give you a whole bunch of other things as well, but now I will make you the wisest person who ever lived. And so it's a good thing that the wisest person who ever lived wrote a book. It's called the Book of Proverbs. And it's throughout there, Proverbs just really means a wise saying. And it's a bunch of different sayings and phrases to help us to become wise as well. And the beginning of the Book of Proverbs, it kind of lists, this is why I'm writing this book, so you may grow in wisdom. And it's a definition of what wisdom is and how to be wise. And in Proverbs 1, the introduction culminates in this verse, verse 7, that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, some of us look at this and we don't understand what that means. It says the fear of the Lord, does that mean we're supposed to be afraid of God, that he's so scary that we're terrified of God? That's not actually what that word means. That word fear of the Lord, it means the respect or reverence or awe of God. What Solomon is saying is, here at the very beginning of all things, where I'm going to teach you about wisdom and what it means to be wise, he says the first step is awe or respect of God. And why is that the first step? Because it's recognizing that I don't know everything. The beginning to wisdom is saying, I don't have it all figured out, but God does. I'm in awe, I'm in amazement, I'm in fear of God. And when I respect that, that helps me to be open to learn. Because if God is my equal, or I know as much or more than he does, then I'm not going to learn from him. I'm not going to grow from him. But instead, if I say, I fear God, I respect God, I understand there's more that I don't know, it opens it up in me. And here Solomon puts this contrast. He says, that's the path of the wise. But he said, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. That there are some that say, I don't want to learn. I don't want to know, and I don't want to be corrected. I don't want there to be boundaries placed around me. Let me do whatever I want to do. And Solomon says, that's fine. You can do that. We have a name for people like you. It's fool. Those that don't want to listen, those that don't want to be corrected. And there's a theme throughout the whole book of Proverbs as you read it about the wise and the fool. There's one other category of person as well. We'll talk about that in a second. But here it gets defined, and we'll see it repeat over and over again. Kind of the big summary of it is that fools think that they know everything, and wise people know that they don't know. To put it another way, is that fools don't need help. Wise people listen to advice. That's really the delineation as we see this in Scripture, in Proverbs, that if we want to be wise, then we recognize that we don't know everything, that there is more to learn, and so because of that, there's an openness. We say, I want to learn, I want to hear. And if you're going to correct me or you're going to tell me something about me that I don't know, I invite that. Share that with me. I want to learn. I want to grow. But fools say, no, I've got to figure it out. Which is, it's kind of funny. It's kind of seems backwards, right? Because here, if we say the fools, they don't take any advice, you know, but the wise people, they do. We're like, wait, shouldn't it be backwards? I mean, it's the fools, like, the dumb people, like they're not smart. They need more information. Like they should get more. But the wise people, I mean, they're already wise, right? They're intelligent. They've got it figured out. They shouldn't need advice, right? Wise people, they're so smart, everyone's going to them for advice. The wise people don't need advice. That's wrong. That's how things get twisted up in our world, because we think, all right, I'm so smart, I'm so intelligent, I have so many degrees, I've been through all this training and education, therefore, I'm at the top, other people come to me. And what the book of Proverbs says, if that is your mentality, no matter how much education, no matter how much schooling, no matter how many degrees you have, if your mentality is, I've got it figured out and I don't learn anything from anyone else, we have a name for you. It's fool. And yet, if you don't have education and you don't have training and you don't have a whole bunch of degrees, and oh, but you're saying, I'm willing to listen, I want to learn, and when someone teaches me something, I learn from it and I grow from it, then we have a name for you. It's wise. That's how God sets this up. And that's why it's so important for us to pay attention. How well do I take correction? How well do I listen to it when someone speaks into my life? Because that's really the difference here, is that wise people are teachable. Wise people are teachable. I'm not sure that's an actual word, teachable, teachability. I think it kind of is. I don't think it was originally in Webster's, but it's one that's kind of come into to use. And I love it because I think that really describes how Solomon talks about wisdom in Proverbs, is to be teachable, to be open, to say, I don't have it all figured out. I'm willing to learn, and I want to learn from whatever source is around me that will speak truth into my life. Wise people are teachable. But fools say, I've got this. I don't need to listen to you. They're the ones when you want to talk to them, say, don't even say, I know what you're going to say before you say it. Really? Wow. That's how good you are? Is it like, I know what you're going to say, and I've already done it. It's already taken care of. We don't have to talk anymore. Wow. And in their mind, they're like, that's how smart I am. That's how wise I am. I've got it all figured out. We have a name for that. It's fool. And say, I've got it all. I don't even need to listen to your input. I have already read your mind and figured it out. Fool. And yet we are called, we want to be wise. I told you there was another category of people as well that get mentioned in Proverbs. And they come up here when we go to Proverbs chapter 9, starting in verse 8. And because as we see the definition of a wise person, it also Solomon defines other types of people as well. Proverbs 9, starting in verse 8, it says, do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. So here we see, again, more of the definition of a wise person, of what it means to act with wisdom. And it's this. If you rebuke a wise man, and rebuke, it means correct, but it kind of in a strong way, saying, what you're doing isn't right. Let me tell you how to change your ways. And if you say that to somebody who is wise, how will he respond? He will love you. What an interesting thing. Have you ever corrected someone and gone up to them and said, hey, want to let you know, this is the thing that you're doing. It's not right. You've been doing this wrong. You need to change. You better get your act together. And they say, thank you so much. You know, I didn't know that about myself. I thought I was doing the right thing, but I was wrong. Hey, I appreciate you giving me that information. I love you for that. Thank you. If you have, that person is wise. More often than not, when you correct people, there you see it. There's a prickly. Wait, what? What? Who are you to tell me this? Why are you telling me this? And there's a pushback. And then sometimes you tell somebody and they come back at you and say, oh yeah, you think I'm wrong? You're wrong. It's not my problem. It's your problem. And that's what here in Proverbs, he calls those people mockers. And it shows up in different ways. There's different words that Solomon uses for this category of people. Sometimes he says mockers. Sometimes it's wicked. Sometimes it's scoffers. Sometimes it's evil. I tend to put it all together in my term. I just call that group the haters. Haters gonna hate. That they are just going to respond with anger and hatred. And so that's the wise, the foolish, and what I call the haters. Then it continues on in verse 10, and Solomon says this. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and your years and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer." So here again, we have this familiar verse. We read Proverbs 1:7, and then now this is Proverbs 9:10. It's similar, not exactly the same, but it's similar. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So again, what it comes back to isn't how smart I am, how I have things figured out, what do I know, how good I am at my job, in my life, in my family, but instead, wisdom begins to say, "God, I come into your presence. I fear you. I honor you. I respect you. I want to learn and grow and be more and more like you. Teach me however you want to teach me. Speak to me in whatever way you want to be able to speak to me. I receive it. I receive it." That's what wisdom is. And he says, "And through me, your days will be many and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you." That if you're open, if you're learning, if you allow that, that's the life you will live. But if you are a mocker, if you refuse, if you respond to instruction with hatred, and if you're just out for yourself and for nobody else, if you're not respecting God, you alone will suffer. And so here we have these three categories that are introduced here. It kind of gets broken down here in Proverbs that there are three types of people that he talks about. Wise people who want to do what is right and they listen to correction. Fools who want to do what's right, but they do not listen to correction. And the haters, they want to do evil and they don't listen to correction. And so for each of these, again, wise people are saying, "I want to do what's right. I want to go in the right way and I want to learn. Teach me." Fools will say, "Hey, I want to do the right thing, but I don't need anybody. I got it figured out on my own." And the foolish says, "I can do it, and I can do this all, and I can figure it out, but I don't need anybody." And the hater just says, "I don't even want to do what's right. I want to just do my own thing. I don't care what's right or what's wrong. I want to do what's best for me, and I don't care what you say." And here, you know, we kind of say it as three types of people, but the truth is that there's only one type of people, there's only one kind of person, that's humankind. We're all the same. And all of us at different times act as wise and foolish and as evil. We don't want that to be true of us, but it is. I know it's true of me, that there are days, there are moments where I act in wisdom. There are moments where I act like a fool, and there are moments where I'm just downright evil. I just do the things I want to do. What I desire in my life is more and more to become wise. And that each day that I act more in wisdom than I do in foolishness and than I do in evil. And sometimes you may think about it and say, "Oh, well, it balances out. Like, I think I do more wisdom than I do evil. Like, it's kind of 50-50, maybe 51%. But that's not really even how it works. It's not quantitative. What we want isn't the quantities. What we want is progression. Is that if you can say today, I am a little bit more wise today than I was yesterday. I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in wisdom more this week than I was last week, more this year than I was last year." That's how we walk, and we don't do it alone. Again, the beginning, the core of that is an acknowledgement of God, fear of him, and that he leads us forward. So we talked about who the wise are for a bit, and so we're going to look a little bit about, as we contrast that, of what it means also to be a fool. So we're learning about this together. Wise people, they want to do what's right, they listen to correction. But fools, they want to do what's right, but they don't listen to correction because they think they already know it. here are some proverbs about the fool. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Again, it's just what we said. The fools say, hey, I want to do what's right, but I know what's right. I've got it figured out. You don't have to tell me anything. I've got this figured out on my own. And again, in our world, people like that, we're like, wow, they're brilliant. They're so smart. They don't need any help. They're a self-made man, a self-made woman. They've got it all together. But at a certain point, we will fail ourselves. If it's all on you, you are the single point of failure in your life. And that's not wise. Instead, if we invite in something greater than ourselves, that's the call here. The way of the fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. A fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. So, again, I know, now a whole bunch of parents are putting this up in their houses now. They're just like, hey, I ain't raised no fool. Come on. Don't spurn my discipline. What does that mean? That means saying, I want no part of your correction, of being corrected, of learning. But a wise person heeds that correction, says, yes, I learn from that. And finally, everyone's favorite verse about the fool is, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. It's the Bible's graphic. I'm sorry, I can't like trim it out. It's what it says. He uses this visual image. If any of you have had dogs or been around dogs, you know they'll go for not just vomit, but all sorts of stuff. But it doesn't make sense because you're like, come on, dude. Like, that just came out of you. Like, that cannot be tasty. That cannot be a good thing to eat again. But that's what the Bible says. It's like somebody who does something that's wrong, and they're corrected, and someone says, hey, this isn't a good idea. It wasn't good. It didn't have good results. The way that you just talked to your family and beat them down and spoke with them with negativity, like, that didn't work. It actually made everybody worse and caused problems and division in the family. And so someone, your wife, your kids, someone confronts you with that and says, hey, this was really hurtful. And the fool says, all right, I understand, and now I'm going to do it again. And I'm just going to return to it like a dog returns to its vomit. I'm not going to learn from that. And that's where it says, you're a fool. Because the truth is presented to you, but you don't listen to it and you don't change. Wise people, when they're presented with the truth, when they're corrected, when someone says, this action you're doing is causing negative problems around you, the wise person says, I'm going to change. But the fool says, no, I'm not going to change. You change. That's the difference. See, wise people adapt to the truth. Fools want the truth to adapt to them. Wise people adapt to the truth. I've heard something that's real. I've heard this about me, and I'm going to listen to it, and I'm going to change. But fools say, no, the problem isn't me. The problem is you. And so the system needs to change. Everything else needs to change around me. But wise people, when they hear the truth, they change and they adapt to it. I was observing in traffic court one day, a long time ago, and I saw this guy get up in front of the judge, and it's traffic court, right? But he's kind of treating it like it's the Supreme Court. Like this guy, he's there to contest a speeding ticket, but he's watched like way too much Law and Order. So like he goes up and he's like, Your Honor, may I approach the bench? The judge is like, all right, whatever. What do you need? And he says, I have in my hand a speeding ticket. I like to call it Exhibit A. And here on this ticket, Your Honor, it says that I was pulled over by Officer Johnson on June 14th on I-40. I'm going 85 miles in a 60-mile-per-hour zone. And the judge is like, yes, that's why you're here. Okay. It's like, but Your Honor, it also says that he pulled me over in a blue Toyota. Okay. Now, Your Honor, I have for you what I want to call Exhibit B. This is my license, my registration, and pictures of my car. I do not own a blue Toyota. I own a red Mustang. Your Honor, I'd like to show you. Here, there's photos of my car, of my license plate, and the judge is like, I don't need to see that. It's fine. What do you want? It's like, well, so as you can see, Your Honor, it says that I was driving a blue Toyota. I could not have been driving a blue Toyota because I drive a red Mustang. And the judge says, okay, were you on I-40 on June 14th? Yes. Were you going 85 miles in a 60-mile-per-hour zone? Well, yes. But I wasn't in a blue Toyota. And the judge says, it doesn't matter. You just admitted to me that you were speeding. He says, yes, but Your Honor, I shouldn't have to pay the ticket because the officer wrote down that I was in a blue Toyota when I was in a red Mustang. And the judge says, his mistake doesn't make your mistake okay. Pay the fine. See, fools want the truth to adapt to them, to say, well, but it does, yes, sure, I was wrong. Yeah, I was speeding. I understand that. But because somebody else made a mistake, I should get off the hook. That's how we think in our foolish way. When someone comes to us and they correct us, but we don't like how they corrected us, then we say, oh, I can get off the hook. By the way, the reason I was observing in traffic court is because I was the next up in line. I had also been speeding on I-40 on June 14th, and I was after that guy, but I was like, I'm not playing the, I just like, I throw myself on the mercy of the court, Your Honor. I'm sorry, I did it. He's like, all right. He's like, you know, we'll knock it down a little bit, but pay the fine. But for me, that was 20 years ago, and I remember that wise people learn from their mistakes. And when I'm going on the road, I think about those moments, like, I don't want to have to go through that again. Wise people learn from their mistakes. But fools want the truth to adapt to them. They don't learn from the mistakes because they focus on the mistakes of other people. We try to find any way we can not to listen to correction. Because it's too much. And when people come at us and they want to tell us that we are wrong or that something is wrong about the way that we're living, acting, speaking, whatever, there's an automatic defense that comes up. And usually the problem is because people don't come at us in the right way, right? People say to us things out of their own anger, or it's kind of snide, or it's backhanded, or it's in public when it should have been in private. And it comes to it that we have a hard time receiving correction and rebuke because it's, when we think about it, it's not so much what they said, it's how they said it, right? It's not what they said. I understand you want to correct me. I understand that I'm not perfect. I get that. I know it. But you didn't have to say it in that way. You said it in kind of a mean tone. You said it when it was too late at night. I was tired. You should have waited till the morning. There were all these things you should have done, and I could have listened to it better. It's not so much what they said, it's how they said it. And this special phrase, I have a name for it. I call this the loophole of listening. This is the loophole of listening. That we think like, oh, hey, you wrote down blue Toyota instead of red Mustang. I don't have to pay the fine. You were not perfect in the way that you came to confront me. So therefore, I don't have to listen to you. Right? That's what we do. That we say, hey, you said this in such an aggressive manner, or you said this in a way that was not helpful, and so now we spin it, now we're mad at that person. Right? Now we're thinking, I have to correct them. It's really fun, right? You know, like, that person came to me, but it was during the meeting time, in front of everybody, and they said that I need to pull them along and say, that's not okay. It's not okay to correct me publicly like that. And you know what? I don't have time to do it. I'm just going to do it right now in this meeting. I'm just going to correct them in front of everyone and let them know he should have pulled me aside. Nobody else got that but me. It's okay. We do the exact same thing that people do to us. Man, they yelled at me and they just told me just straight, I'm just going to tell them right back. It doesn't make sense because if it's focused on the delivery and saying, hey, what you didn't say it perfectly to me, we miss out on the message. Wise people listen even when the message doesn't come out clearly, even when it's not 100% true what the other person is saying, wise people say, I want to find out what is true about this message. And so when someone comes to correct you and wants to give you information about you, and you may be upset, and maybe it's too personal, maybe it's the way this person came at it, or maybe you're just saying, what they just said, it's 95% wrong. They don't have the expertise. I know what I'm doing. They don't. It's 95% wrong. This is what a wise person says. There's 5% truth. What that person is saying to me is 5% true. And if I can receive that, I'm going to be 5% smarter. I'm going to be 5% better. This is worth that 5%. And I'm going to leave the rest of it aside. I'm going to not let that get in the way because I want to get wisdom wherever I can find it. So wise people do. Wise people look for wisdom wherever it is. Even if it's from the source of someone to say, hey, I'm not sure, they didn't come at me right, but I want to find some wisdom from this. I want to find something out of this. And so you take it, we take it in, and we listen. And so, again, maybe you're out and you're with other people and you're with your spouse and your husband or your wife. They say something and they correct you in front of your friends. And they say, hey, you know, this is the way, maybe it was something that was personal. Hey, the way that our finances were handled weren't handled right. And you get so upset, you're like, I can't believe that she said that at the dinner party. I can't believe she said this at other people. And so we get upset, and now it becomes a marriage problem, right? And now we go after it. But at any point, do you address the fact that maybe you didn't handle the finances correctly? At any point, will we get to the core of it, of that correction? Wise people say, I want to hear that. And you take in all the wisdom. Instead of getting upset and say, well, why did she say, I'm so mad that she disrespected me in front of all these people, what a wise person says is, what's going on? What's the reason why she couldn't tell me this in private? Am I not creating that relationship in my home where we're talking about these things? She doesn't feel safe enough to tell me this information, or maybe she's told me it time and time again, but I'm not hearing her, so she had to resort to saying this in public. Wise people listen. It says here how important wisdom is. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. I want the truth wherever I can get it, wherever I can find it, even if it's coming from an imperfect source. Now, with that, it's an understanding that not everybody who corrects you, rebukes you, who speaks, gives you advice, not all of that advice is good. Not all of that comes from a good place. So, yes, we need discernment. Don't just do whatever anybody tells you to do because you're never going to have your own opinion. You're never going to be able to go in a right direction. So you listen to it, you take it in. But again, it begins with wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. We fear God, and everything, every advice, every correction, rebuke that comes to us, we put it through the filter of Scripture. That we listen and say, all right, I want to receive this. I want to take this in, but I want to make sure it matches up with God's word so that it's right. But we want to make sure that we put it through the filter of God's word, not through the filter of our own just thoughts and emotions. Because, again, that whole loophole of listening, where we say it's not so much what they said, but it's how they said it. Wise people, we want to get through that as quickly as we can. We want to say, all right, I want to find my wholeness, my identity in Jesus Christ and in who I am, and so that I'm not so ruffled, I'm not so sensitive when people set me off. Instead, I can listen to the truth and receive that truth. Wise people also, they understand this loophole of listening, and they know that if I'm going to speak into someone else's life, if I want them to be able to receive that, then I better do it in a way that they're going to understand. So in the loophole of listening, you know that if you present correction to somebody else, they're going to find every way they can not to listen. So the best thing, if you are a wise person and you want to give that correction, then you need to say, what's the best way? How can I speak to this person in a way that they're going to receive it? So when you're their communicator, you want to lower those barriers. But when you're the receiver, you can't point it out. And you're like, well, that doesn't seem fair. Yeah, that's wisdom. It's wisdom to be able to understand it. And one of the reasons, again, why we don't hear it is because we don't always give that correction in a positive way, in a way that can be heard, in a way that's loving, in a way that's lifting that person up, that's raising that person up instead of tearing them down. Next week, we're going to talk more about that. This week is all about how do we receive correction. Next week, we're talking about how to give correction. And some of you guys are like, oh, I just want that one. This is good. No. First, we're talking about how do we receive it. And I know for some of you here also, as you're listening to this, there are people you're like, oh, this is so good for that other person. I know it. Man, I have some fools in my life. Oh, man, I'm going to download this. Everybody's getting this CD. You know, okay. Yeah, that's fine. This is for you. Those other people, they're not in the room. Some of them might be. Like, my husband, my wife, listen, stay away, hear this one. You're here right now. This is for you to listen to, for us to receive, that we may walk in wisdom, that we may look for wisdom wherever it is found. And as we look at this, again, there's the third category of people that we sometimes are, that I kind of want to skip over. I want to say, all right, everybody wants to do good, right? We're all wanting to do good, but sometimes some of us don't listen so well, so we're foolish. But the truth is that there are also times in our lives where we don't want to do what's right. And there are people in our world who do not want to do what's right, who actually intentionally want to cause problems, want to cause dissension, want to cause evil in our world. Proverbs talks about it. Again, we've been calling them the haters, the mockers, the villains, the scoffers. Proverbs 6, 12 through 15 says, a scoundrel and a villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart, he always stirs up dissension. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. And so here it's saying, hey, there are those who are going about and they're winking and they're doing signals with their hands and their feet, which is saying they're up to no good. And on the outside, they might say, hey, I'm trying to do this positive thing. But the truth is what they're doing is trying to cause evil and dissension. And God says, hey, those people are out there, but don't worry, their justice will come. The rest of Proverbs, it has more about this. Proverbs 11, 21. Be sure of this, the wicked man will not go unpunished, but those who are righteous will go free. The desire of the righteous ends only in good, but the hope of the wicked only in wrath. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. And so here is the promise from God of saying there will be justice. When we look around and we see evil and we see wicked and we get so upset about it, we know, hey, we don't have to worry about it. God holds it in his hands. He is a God of justice. But sometimes these verses can be scary when we realize that we can be wicked. And if we're actually listening to the correct and the rebuke of other people, sometimes we could spiral down into negativity and say, oh man, I am wrong. Oh, I am doing this wrong. I have no hope. I'm a bad person. And that's not where we go. Because check this out. Not only do we have the book of Proverbs, we have the entire Bible, we have the gospel of hope. This is what it says in the book of Romans. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly, for the wicked, for the evil, for the scoffers, for the haters, for the fools. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, wicked, haters, scoffers, fools, Christ died for us. This is the grace of Jesus Christ. This is the beginning of wisdom. Of recognizing that it's not by our own power, it's not by our own strength, it's by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You cannot be perfect. And that's what fools think. I can get it all together and I can be perfect. And I can. You can't. You're going to fall short. You're not going to be wise all the time, even though you want to. You're going to fall short. But this is the good news, that God loves you anyway. And you can come to him. A wise person recognizes, I cannot pay for all the things I've done that is wrong. A wise person says, I need help, and I need you, Jesus. That's the common thread between fools and wise people and haters. We all need Jesus. That's the start of it. It's the beginning of our wisdom. Grace covers all. And if you can walk in grace, meaning forgiveness, meaning understanding I'm not perfect, and understanding the people around me are not perfect, even the way they want to try to correct me and speak to me, they're wrong and they're doing it in the wrong way. But grace, forgiveness, it allows me to be able to receive things in an imperfect world. Can we walk in that grace and give that grace to others? And if so, we can walk as wise. What kind of person are you? And maybe it changes moment to moment. So, how are you acting today? Are you acting like a wise person, a fool, or a hater? As you think about this past week, the people that came to you with advice, with correction, with instruction, how did you respond to them? And you're thinking, well, last week doesn't count because that one person that came at me, they came at me wrong. How do you respond? Are you teachable? Are you a teachable person that says, I want to find wisdom wherever that comes from? And after this, are there some people maybe that you need to apologize to or that you need to open up to and say, hey, I want to learn more? A wise person will go at different points to his family, to his coworkers, to people around him and just say, hey, what is it about me that I need to know? What is there anything that you've been kind of telling me for a while, but I don't listen to? I'm ready to listen now. They will be shocked. That's the move of the wise. And when someone speaks to you, even when it's not perfect, even when they have their own stuff in it, you can kind of navigate that and guide that, but then you say, thank you. I want to learn. I want to grow. And you can do that when you walk in the grace of Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of all wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Will you choose the path of wisdom today? Will you say, I know that I don't know. I know that God does, so I'm going to yield to you right now, God. I yield to you that you may speak your wisdom in my life. Even if it's hard, even if it reveals that I'm not perfect, God, I trust your perfection in my life, that you are making me more and more like you every day. Will you be willing to receive that, to be a teachable person and walk as the wise? That's the invitation that God gives to you today, the invitation of wisdom, that you may go from this place today a little wiser than when you came in. Let's pray, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come as they prepare to close us in a song. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for wisdom. God, we admit that there are times when we act like fools, when we don't want to hear it, when we think we've got it all figured out. There are times, God, when we act as evil, and where we come back hard at the people that are trying to help us. And Lord, may we enter into your grace and your forgiveness. That even when we were sinners, even when we were evil, you loved us anyway and you died for us. And the people around us are also imperfect, and the way that they speak to us is not perfect. And so God, help us enter into forgiveness. May we forgive those who have wronged us by trying to correct us in a wrong way, by giving us bad advice. May we forgive them so we may walk free. And may we receive the kernels of truth and of wisdom that are maybe packaged in imperfection. Lord God, we want to walk wise as you are wise. And so, God, for some of us, we repent. We need to turn away and say, I'm sorry. And may we receive your wisdom. Thank you for your great love. May we walk in your truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We invite you to stand. We're going to close in this song. If you would like prayer for